This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Nation, welcome back to the ESPN's NBA Team Podcast. I'm joined by Adam Murray.
I'm still here.
we're speeding up this intro because this is part two of our episode in which we're talking about trying to catch up on the trade deadline deals and also all their goings on with the NBA since we were out for 2 weeks trying to compensate. We were finishing up with the Phoenix Suns and how we just did not like what they did. A lot of people did. This is one of the ones where the consensus kind of matches our opinion, which doesn't always happen, but I think we're kind of compelled to think that the Suns are not going to be better by the deals that they made, and we just really don't understand it.
Let me just finish it up with the Phoenix thing. Basically, they traded 2 second-round picks to the Celtics for a first-round pick and then assorted garbage who aren't going to really help them. And one thing you forgot to mention about those trades with the Heat and Phoenix, the Norris Cole era in New Orleans.
Yeah, the Pelicans snuck in there and said, "Okay, hey, let's make a three-way out of this." And that's how John Salmons wound up with the Suns. Is that Salmons was traded to the Heat and then to the Suns, and the Pelicans got Norris Cole. It's funny because he's just coming off of that hilarious internet meme in which him and Hassan Whiteside screwed up an inbounds at the very end of a 1-point game or a 1-possession game against the Minnesota Timberwolves, cost him the game, and then he gets traded. I don't think he got traded because of that. I liked him as a rookie when the Heat won their first championship. He's a good shooter. He's very quick. I don't think he's a very good defender. That's why he barely played in the NBA Finals when they played against the Spurs. He was so bad defensively against Tony Parker that literally Spoelstra had to take him off the court. So he's not going to help you defensively. Offensively, he can definitely be a big help. So that's just my bias. What did you think of it?
It's basically just saying the Jimmer Fredette era is over?
The Jimmer Fredette era was over the moment that they picked him up.
he just provides a body, and he can always say he's the best player who ever went to Cleveland State, I guess?
Yeah, Cleveland. That's a fair point. Except for Mouse McFadden. You remember the late 80s Mouse McFadden?
Yeah, but... Yeah, him. Norris Cole's a tad bit better.
He won 2 championships. He was a backup point guard with Miami behind Chalmers. I guess that means that Shabazz Napier is sort of moving up the ranks in Miami, and he might wind up becoming the starter if Chalmers doesn't work out, which I think we kind of talked about before the season began. Another small deal, this is very small, but maybe it might help out in the playoff race, is that Ramon Sessions got traded from the Sacramento Kings to the Washington Wizards in exchange for Andre Miller.
I like that trade.
For the Wizards or for the Kings?
Yeah, for the Wizards.
Okay.
Kings have nothing to play for. They're just dysfunctional. All they did was get younger. Ramon Sessions has always been, he's played for granted. He's played for 20 teams at this point, but he always puts up like 12 points a game. Mm-hmm. And you trade 72-year-old Andre Miller, and you just get younger. Mm-hmm. Which is definitely what you need in the playoffs.
A lot of people said that a part of this was the fact that George Karl is now the head coach for the Sacramento Kings, and Miller has had a relationship with Karl in the past in Denver. Do you think that there's a connection there?
It could be that he likes him, or maybe it just could be he's available. I could get rid of Ramon Sessions' extra year, and I have a couple weeks where Andre Miller can talk to my young point guards. Darren Collison, and I don't even know who their backup is anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But
probably Ray McCallum.
So there you go. You have somebody they can listen to now. A nice little veteran presence that there we go. He will be the locker room presence that the team doesn't have.
Yeah, the old
where you don't have wise you know veteran. Boogie Cousins and his group of malcontents just sort of playing around. You have somebody who will keep it serious now and professional.
Yeah, but Miller has had a reputation for being a malcontent too. You know, when he got traded originally to Denver, he did not want to go there. And he and I remember he had a rough time in Portland with Jamal Crawford when
yeah, but that was also many years fired. Ago. He matured and you know is
he was in his late 30s in Portland. He matured past his late 30s.
Well, since he's 52 now, that was 20, you know, the shorts era. He was angry. Well, okay.
No, he's not that old. I do remember him playing against Vince Carter and Anton Jameson in college in the Final Four. So he's old, but he's not ancient. Anton Jameson just retired, actually. A couple small ones. I guess this is small, but you know, it's big in name, but it would have been much bigger years ago. And this one might hit home a little bit for you. Kevin Garnett got traded from Brooklyn and went back to the Minnesota Timberwolves. In exchange for Thaddeus Young. One-on-one deal.
Everybody likes that trade because it's that sentimental thing. Oh, he gets to go home, and he always liked it there. He didn't want to leave there in the first place. He just, you know, realized in order to win, I have to leave. It's a nice story, but what people forget, Minnesota sucks. Because they traded a first-round pick to get Thaddeus Young, and then you trade him away just to have a ceremony with Kevin Garnett, and hopefully he can teach the young players how to play. But if you take sentiment out of it, completely stupid trade.
That's a good point about Young. He wasn't the main part of the trade with Kevin Love, it seemed at the time. And it definitely seems that way now because of Andrew Wiggins probably being the rookie of the year and probably being the centerpiece of what the Minnesota Timberwolves do in the future. But basically, you traded Kevin Love for Andrew Wiggins, Anthony Bennett, and a first-round draft pick.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's just you traded him away for nothing. You traded away your first-round pick, who I don't even know when that pick is because – they owe a lot of picks to a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
I know Boston has one of those picks. Or no. Boston has a protected one. If they don't get it next year, it'll be 2 seconds. So
the last time we saw Kevin Garnett in Minnesota, he was a great player. He was an NBA All-Star. But that was in 2007. And a lot has obviously changed for Garnett since then. He's at the end of, I believe, a $10 to $11 million salary from a contract he signed when he was in Boston in 2012. There's rumors that he might sign a 2-year deal and stick around for 2 more years under Flip Saunders, who's one of his favorite coaches in Minnesota. Do you think this is crazy, but do you think that the Garnett will make the Timberwolves better? Do you think that they'll be able to do more with him the same way that they did when he was younger?
Yeah, he will make them better because he will teach these young kids how to play because he's so intense. Mm-hmm. You don't hear people going, oh, Kobe makes the young people better. He wants to help other people. Garnett is always teaching somebody or always has a lesson or a story for somebody. And if you have this young sponge of Andrew Wiggins, you know, I'm going to put you next to Garnett. Your locker will be next to him. You're going to tail him wherever you go, and you're going to learn how to be that
a man.
Guy.
Be a man. Yeah.
And these young picks of, you know, Muhammad, Levine.
Slam dunk contest winner.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah. Slam. Yeah. That's because that did well for Gerald Green. Who basically, that's what he is right now. I think it's just more for the locker room presence and, you know, we'll sign you to a 2-year deal to make sure you retire here and to mentor these young players who are now our core.
So you're saying that the Wolves basically acquired nostalgia.
They acquired nostalgia and an assistant coach, which That's is true. Not worth the first
He's
round
kind
pick.
Of a coach on the floor, so I get that point too. But isn't it strange how we get to these places? Because, I mean, maybe it's because – we're getting older, but it didn't seem that long ago that the Kevin Garnett Celtics trade happened. And it's just amazing that we get to this point where obviously 7 years have passed since then, but here he is back in Minnesota. It's just odd. It's kind of like when Scottie Pippen went back to the Bulls in his last year in like 2003 or 2004, and it's kind of like, oh, he's back, but it doesn't matter anymore.
Well, it's one of those, how many players have been on that on their team for so long? Everybody bounces around, and in this LeBron era where we're all going to take less money and we're going to we're just going to buddy up. There's no loyalty left. So when you have a player who has been a career guy and sat through their team through all those losing seasons, mm-hmm. it's sort of like, oh, well, you know, it's nice for him to go home. That's why people aren't angry at LeBron, because we're like, well, that's where you're from. If he went to any other team, be like, oh, come on, who are you playing with now? And people aren't faulting Cleveland for going out getting Love and everybody else. It was just a nice story. Okay, LeBron comes home. Garnett's coming home. How many players can you say that of the like right now in the NBA?
Not that many. Not that many, yeah. With the loyalty, like a Tim Duncan or maybe even a Steph Curry in Golden State.
That's about it. You know, like what would happen if, you know, Vince Carter went back to Toronto and they patched things up and be like, oh, that's such a nice story because they ended so ugly, or, mm-hmm. you know, there's not many players who have, because since players are all over the place now, there's it's like hockey where it's like, oh man, I remember him. He was in St. Louis. Oh, that was four teams ago. What?
Yeah.
You know, it's just
crazy that he's putting on the uniform again. He's going to put on number 21 probably, but it doesn't really matter anymore. It's what I'm trying to say. It's just kind of, you know, wrestling, we see that where, you know, a great wrestler comes back, but it doesn't matter anymore because they're not in that mode anymore. They're not in a position where they're the big timer anymore. They're just a vanity project.
Well, that's the thing. You could say that, yes, but you know, you're always going to be cheering when you see, like, an old school, like, when Tatanka comes back for a week or two.
Or, like, when the news that Twin Peaks is coming back on Showtime, you know.
You have a nice story because everyone knows he's not that dominant player anymore. He's no longer that top five player. He's, you know, no better than, let's, you know, Miles Plumlee or Mays, one of the Plumleys were beating him out. He couldn't even start anymore.
Mason, yeah.
You know, his upside, he has no upside. He's just getting worse and worse. And this is like, oh, well, that's, it's something to be like, well, okay.
It puts a smile on your face.
Yes.
Yeah.
But that's costly to do so, to trade away another first round pick just to have a couple more fans for a week.
Let's flip it on the other side. What about Thaddeus Young going in the Nets?
He will opt out, so.
Yeah, he has a player option, so maybe he'll be.
He has a player option. Maybe they can talk him into it, to staying?
Well, it's not like the Brooklyn Nets are terrible. Like, they're in that eighth spot in the Eastern Conference right now at 22-31. Now, they're tied with Charlotte, and Detroit and Indiana are right behind them.
Maybe if they could talk him into sort of an extension. I don't know. You know, obviously they're paying the tax this year, and he was a little bit cheaper, but he has, I think, $7 million left on the year. Mm-hmm. It makes him better. They have no intensity. It might just make the team – because basically right now it seems to be Miami. I don't know, because – Miami has a lot of question marks now. So you have Detroit who wants to make a run. You have Charlotte who wants to make a run.
That's a good segue with Miami, because we said we were going to talk about it, and we're going to go ahead and do that right now. Is that not literally the day they made the Dragic deal and Twitter went aflame about how Miami was back in the hunt and that they were going to be an upset special for whoever they played at the top of the Eastern Conference. It was announced that Chris Bosh had to go to the hospital. And he has actually the same situation that Anderson Varejão had, and also Mirza Teletovic for the Nets had, and that's that Chris Bosh has blood clots in his lungs, which is potentially fatal. So you have to monitor it very closely. Use blood thinners. You know, obviously check on the breathing. He's not going to be able to play for the rest of the season. That is a shutdown type of condition. So he's done for the year. So without Bosh, what kind of a team does Miami have with Dragic in there now?
Not as exciting as it was during the trade.
That would have been a frightening pick and roll with Dragic and Bosch, because Dragic is so good at finishing and Bosch is such a great shooter.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that sort of kills the momentum they had running into it now. And, you know, Hassan Whiteside is still on fire for now, so...
Well, that's the funny thing. People are like, man, can you imagine that team, like, Hassan Whiteside and this... Like, you think about that at the beginning, it's like, what the fuck are you talking about? Hassan Whiteside. But he's still playing really well. Now, I mean, is that bubble going to burst eventually?
Yes, once the playoffs hit and he starts getting, you know, Joakim Noah starts just elbowing him every time, and mm-hmm. he's going to get muscled out because he doesn't have the, you know, he doesn't have the bulk behind him.
So you're saying they're good enough to get into the playoffs?
They're good enough to get in.
But let me ask you this. They're 8 games behind Milwaukee. Do you think they can catch that up?
I was going to say no, but Milwaukee with their let's swap for Carter Williams,
Without Parker, who's out.
Without Parker, you know, 8 games is a lot to catch up with.
We said the same thing about Cleveland, though, and look where they're at. They just passed up the Washington Wizards.
Yeah, but 8 games with 30 games, 30...
Yeah, that's true. We had an episode called Keep Calm and Panic. And we were saying, you're a sarcastic type. And myself, too, I don't always kind of freak out about every move that's made in November, December. And we said most of the time the answer was, no, you can kind of let this settle. Let's be honest, though, right at this point, Adam, every move, every streak, everything right now is panic time.
Well, it's panic time because you got
even in February. February is panic time.
You got, you know, a month and a half, 2 months to hope your team gets, becomes a team. You need that teamwork, for lack of a better term.
That's what they call it, I think.
You know, you need that camaraderie to come in because you've now disrupted everything to make this trade.
And you got to hope it stabilizes fast or it cements fast.
Exactly.
Then you're in
8 games is kind of a lot, especially when you know both these teams will play Philly, will play Orlando, will play New York. So... Mm-hmm. You have, you know, Indiana, I think, is out. Boston, I think, is out.
I don't think Indiana's out yet because I think Paul George is determined to come back in the month of March. And if he comes back, that could be like an 8 or 9 game winning streak if he really plays well.
He'll come back rusty.
He'll be rusty, but.
But that's like when Durant came back. He came back and he still doesn't look good right now.
Yeah, I think he came back too quickly.
He still looks like he's.
I mean,
80%.
It's hard to figure. Like, it's the same thing we talked about with Derrick Rose. Like, what's the true recovery time to come back from, you know, the injury that he suffered? Well, what's the true recovery time to come back 100% from a broken leg? I mean, it doesn't happen that often, so there's really not a number to gauge. So for George, it's just a matter of how he feels and how much he wants to contribute. I think George is a freak. And I think he's a guy that just wants to go out there and play as soon as possible. And he's aiming to practice in the beginning of March. And if he can practice, he's going to try to push to come back if Larry Bird will let him. That might be enough to sneak into the playoffs.
You got 5 teams, because I think Boston is done without Sullinger now. They had no rebounding to begin with, and they got even less now. You got 5 teams for 2 spots. Brooklyn, Miami, Charlotte, Detroit, Indiana.
And that, I think, was a big harbinger of a lot of the trades. A lot of them involved these Eastern Conference teams like Miami, Milwaukee. Well, Milwaukee was in anyway. But Miami, Brooklyn, Charlotte, Detroit, Indiana. Indiana stayed put. But Charlotte made a move, too. They traded they got Mo Williams in a trade where they traded away Gary Neal. The other one that was really active was the Detroit Pistons. They traded Kyle Singler and DJ Augustin to the Oklahoma City Thunder in exchange for Reggie Jackson, who had also put in a trade demand to Oklahoma City because he was probably not going to get paid as a restricted free agent.
It wasn't just that, but the stories that came out, nobody gave him a good recommendation on the way out.
It was kind of like Dragic.
Dragic, people were just sort of...
sad.
No, I wouldn't say sad. It was just more question marks. Like, what happened there in Phoenix? Like, what? There has to be something that we don't know.
Yeah.
Here in Oklahoma City, the players are like, yeah, bye. Mm-hmm. We're done with you.
I think it's because they're so dead set on the prize. They're so determined to win a championship that whatever – it's like Cleveland. Whatever move you have to make in order to get better, hey, no hard feelings, bro. But you got to go.
People like him for some reason.
He's a good two-guard.
They are very high on him. Like, he's going to be the next superstar, and he could become a top 8 point guard. And all I saw was just red flags, of just me, and me. And those don't last long in the NBA. You don't see many, Steven Jackson type players, Latrell Sprewell with his boat. They get run out pretty quickly once you get up.
I've got a family to feed. But it wasn't like Reggie Jackson had a family to feed or he said anything stupid like that. It was just a matter of, hey, pay me or let me go. And they said, okay, we'll let you go.
But it wasn't as nice as that. It seemed.
Oh, no, it wasn't like the way I just said it. No, I don't think the conversation went that way. You do have to give credit to Sam Presti a little bit. Now, some people were overreacting on the radio I was listening, and they were saying that Sam Presti is one of the best GMs in the NBA. I don't want to say that because they made moves to get better along with getting Singler and Augustin. Augustin's a good backup point guard. He can back up Russell Westbrook without hurting the team too much. Kyle Singler is an underrated player. He's a nice shooter, and he can help them out. The other guy they got was Enes Kanter from the Utah Jazz because they turned that Detroit-Oklahoma City deal into a three-way involving Utah. They sent away Kendrick Perkins' expiring contract. He has since been released by Utah. They bought out his contract. He is signed with the Cleveland Cavaliers. What do you think about Kanter in Oklahoma?
People are crazy for two reasons. Number one, everyone just a couple of weeks ago was saying how horrible Presti is because he makes bad deals. The Deion Waiters trade was just not good so far. And before that, he hasn't really done anything. He just sort of sits by his players and then lets them go, mm-hmm. like Harden, and gets nothing in return, essentially. The people he got didn't produce. And all of a sudden, now he's a genius. And number two, for people to say – people need to hear themselves talk. That's what the problem with the society now is. You say things, but then you don't hear yourself saying them.
You're obviously not talking about me, right?
People are saying that Oklahoma City is now the best team in the West, and Enes Kanter puts them over the top?
Well, it's that whole point that we talked about in a previous episode. One man's trash is another man's treasure. I can save him. What they couldn't see, I can see. Like, do you see that with Kanter? Like, he was going to be a restricted free agent because of his size and because of his ability to shoot from the outside. A lot of people thought he was going to get overpaid anyway in the $10 million range, so Utah dumping him wasn't the worst idea, even though they didn't get really anything in return. But do you think Kanter can turn in Oklahoma City and do for them what he really couldn't do in Utah? That's a risk.
He's the player that's going to put your team over the top? And now you're championship material because of Enes Kanter?
Well, it's your definition of over the hump. Like, what hump are you getting?
You read a lot of people, a lot of columnists, a lot of reporters saying now Oklahoma City is now a top two team in the West. They have now vaulted over Memphis and Houston.
No.
And it's just sort of them and Golden State.
No,
That's what I've been reading.
A lot of the teams in the West are interchangeable once you get below Golden State because, let's be honest, no news has changed the last 2 weeks. Golden State is fucking retarded good. And they destroyed the Spurs in a game I saw. Steph Curry had a 50-point game while we were out. He won the three-point contest going away. That team's unbelievable. Then you got Memphis, Houston, Portland, LA Clippers, Dallas, San Antonio, Oklahoma City. They're all kind of interchangeable, but does that mean that Oklahoma City is the second best team in the West? No, I can't say that.
But to defend Kanter, did he really show anything in his 4 years yet? But has anyone in Utah ever shown us anything? That team is just sort of mismatched.
They're just there, yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing, is maybe there's something in him, but he fell out of the rotation for Rudy Gobert.
You know his new nickname? I love it. The Stifle Tower.
Stifle Tower, yeah. Or the French Rejection.
Sometimes the internet gets things right. They got that nickname right. The Stifle Tower for Rudy Gobert.
You know, he fell out of... He can't play with
Favors.
With Eric Favors. And maybe it was just he's in a bad system, and it's one of those things where he needs to be on a better team, but...
Maybe he had inflated stock because he played at Kentucky but never actually got to step on the court.
I don't know, so there is lots of hope for him, but to say he is the missing piece, okay.
He doesn't have to be the defensive guy. That's going to be up to Steven Adams and Serge Ibaka. So maybe that will help them. You know, they're on a 5-game winning streak, but they were already on a winning streak before the All-Star break. So it's not necessarily because of Cantor's addition and the addition of throw me in Augustin and Singler. What you thought of that?
That was Van Gundy's prize signing with Jody Meeks last year, and
yes,
got rid of him for the rest of the people are just trade fodder.
I understand it from Detroit's point of view, though, because you needed a point guard to replace Brandon Jennings, who's out for the season with a torn Achilles tendon. And even if Jennings comes back, he can play with Reggie Jackson if you re-sign Jackson. Like, that makes sense.
Okay, for Oklahoma City, I'll say this. They now have a bench which they didn't have, because once when Westbrook and Durant went down, we realized that bench is garbage when they became starters.
Mm-hmm.
That's my guess. They provide... nothing. You know, you like Kyle Singler.
Well, he's a good shooter. He's a good stretch. He's got the size of a small forward, but he's an excellent shooter. So you can't a guy playing at the three position can't just totally run away from him while he's in his zone.
He's the stretch guy because Cantor can't shoot threes. So
he's a good outside shooter, but he takes too many of them. He needs to be more assertive. That's been Cantor's problem the entire time.
It's been Cantor. Like Singler, you're more up on him than I am.
Well,
everything is
ending with ums and question marks for the Thunder, so I'm not really sure if these deals are like such a slam dunk for Sam.
But everyone is saying it is. No. I have been like in the such a minority going, I'm not impressed by these.
Mm-hmm.
I hope they work out because Cantor has shown potential. But is that what you need? Somebody who's showing potential along with Deion Waiters, who's still showing potential.
Quick thoughts, Russell Westbrook. You finish the rest. Russell Westbrook is
the best shooting guard in the league.
I was going to say destroying people.
He's a two, not a one. The All-Star game was meaningless because
it's brainless fodder. It always
he's
was.
Now in the upper echelon of players
because of the great All-Star game performance.
It was just a slam dunk contest.
Yeah.
Well,
did you see the number of threes? Do you think that the number of threes taken, I believe, is over 110 combined between both the West and the East, the game which the West won? It was the highest. It was, I believe, the highest scoring game in NBA All-Star game history. Do you think that kind of hints at sort of the way the NBA is going now?
No, it's just said, we're not going to try to run. We're just going to come in and just, it was, to me, I watched part of it. I was like, this is bad. It's just dunks and threes and dunks and threes, and who was paying $1,000?
I think the reason why – the one thing I'll take away from it is that the reason Westbrook was so good in the All-Star game is that while a lot of people are kind of getting lazy, taking outside shots, kind of taking it easy, Westbrook does not ever take anything easy. He is like fucking go, 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 gadget, go. Like he is never taking a day off. Like, and that's just the way he functions. And you see it again with the Thunder. When Durant's out, he's taking the game over. And you can't stop him.
You can't stop that type of personality. You just hope.
You just got to hope he does a bad job executing.
No, you just hope he doesn't get injured from that, because he doesn't slow down and doesn't, you know, conserve his body.
Yeah, he might be the next Kevin Johnson in that way. He goes so hard. He balls so hard that he just kind of
burns out. Yeah.
It hasn't happened yet, and he's been playing for about 6 seasons, so good for
him. It hasn't happened. It's not going to, but one day it might.
League MVP question mark?
He was injured for part of it, and we could mention him.
Harden.
Okay.
Harden and Curry are still in the lead right now. Would you assume that right now?
Yeah, that's why I'm like, you want to mention them? Like, we can mention them, but I have been long in the Harden camp since like the first week of the season, I think.
Mm-hmm. A couple other small ones, some involving your Celtics here. Tayshaun Prince got traded back to the Detroit Pistons. There's nostalgia for you. In exchange for Luigi D'Antoni and Jonas Jerebko, who actually was starting quite a few games for the Pistons.
He'll be starting a few games for the Celtics now with Sullinger out. I'm not against him. Like, people think he's just horrible, but the funny thing about Prince is he thought he was going to get bought out in Detroit. They're like, no, we want to try, and Tayshaun Prince is confused now.
Yeah, well, he got bought out. I thought he got bought out by the Celtics, but
They were going to if they couldn't trade him, and now Detroit says we're not.
They did the same thing with Nate Robinson, right? They bought him out, but they didn't buy out Prince.
Oh, they bought out Nate Robinson immediately, I don't think he's found a new team yet.
No, I don't believe so. I think there were rumors that he was going to look at the Clippers because of his relationship with Doc Rivers when he was with the Celtics, but not happening.
Yeah, well, how many people can the Clippers sign? Because everybody always – Clippers have interest for, like, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
They're always
– But that's the funny part about the Clippers. Of all the teams that really stood pat in the West, the only one that did was L.A., because they did get Austin Rivers, but really, Austin Rivers is a drip in the fucking bucket compared to what Dallas did. Dallas did Rondo. The San Antonio Spurs are the defending world champions. No reason to rattle that cage. The Oklahoma City Thunder made a couple significant moves. Phoenix, we already talked about. New Orleans made a couple of moves, albeit small ones. Golden State stood pat. Memphis did the Jeff Green deal. Houston did the Corey Brewer and the Josh Smith. And they also picked up Pablo Prigioni in the
trade. Oh, wow, that means...
That's a deal-breaker, huh?
Oh, 38-year-old Greek player.
Portland got a flallow. The Clippers did nothing, and they really needed to improve.
Clippers don't have anything to trade. That's the problem.
They're so stocked on their cap, you mean?
They're so stuck in the cap. They have no draft picks because all they've done is trade everything away.
Mm-hmm.
They have no assets. Who would you want from that team who is available?
Well, DeAndre, because he's
not available.
You're saying that DeAndre's not on the board. Like, I can't take him.
I don't think he's on the board because it would be one of those, well, he's part of our core and we need to – it'd have to be a great deal to keep him.
The problem with Jamal Crawford, another guy, is that he's so old. Like, and also, he's gotten a reputation as sort of a cancer. So you don't know whether or not he's worth picking up if you were trying to make a deal with the Clippers. So, yeah, were their hands tied – in some of these negotiations, and that's what hurt them with these deals. Yeah, that's a pretty good point. I could see it that way.
You know, does anyone want JJ Redick? Spencer Hawes has been disappointment. Matt Barnes and
his
Jamal
hair
Crawford,
is magnificent, no. though.
Glenn Davis. You know, they don't have the team they have is the team they have, and the team has really been Jekyll and Hyding this year, where. I think it might just scare people away because they don't have assets. They don't have any picks to trade, so nobody's trading for JJ Redick straight up.
Yeah. Let me go through the list of teams, and we'll talk about teams that kind of stood pat and the ones that didn't. For the teams that made a lot of moves, we'll talk about whether or not they got better or worse. And the ones that stood pat, was it the right move? Atlanta didn't do anything. Right move.
Toronto. They Atlanta got rid of Adrian Payne.
Small one. Toronto stood pat.
Oh, they are. I feel bad for them now.
But they're playing well. You know, they've won 7 out of the last 10, and they're only 6 games back. They destroyed Atlanta in the Phillips Arena on Friday.
They did, but if any team, Chicago, Cleveland, Washington bulked up, looking, you know, breathing down your neck.
Mm-hmm. Chicago's right behind them. They didn't do any moves because really – I don't think they needed to make any moves.
Their team is as good as it's going to be, and they
exactly.
don't.
Exactly. Like, there's nothing
are,
else you
they're
could
sort
add.
Of, they don't have assets either mm-hmm. because your top bench guys are still there. And
because they're all in.
Yeah, they don't. You're not going to trade away McDermott yet.
Because that's the thing about the NBA, too, after the trade deadline. It's like showing your cards. You got to put your cards on the table, and it's like, that's what you got? And it's like, yep, that's it. You know, and some of these teams, they try to do that late signing, like Dallas Mavericks, they signed Amari Stoudemire. I don't think that's significant at all.
That's a good, you know, I've been saying it for, if he could provide 15, 20 minutes as that Brandon Wright replacement,
mm-hmm.
solid.
Mm.
Nobody wants him to play.
I think he's done. I think he's done. And he's not a team player.
You're not a team player, but I think maybe he will now, having been in New York.
Well, Carlisle is a master at getting guys to buy in. He did it with Stojakovic when they won the NBA title in 2011. I don't see the same thing for Stoudemire, though. Cleveland, they did all their moves. They're obviously better from making
moves. Oh, we got to mention the Mozgov, and now you have insurance with Perkins. If
yeah,
you can
and also getting J.R. Smith and Shumpert. J.R. Smith, I'm going to tell you, he's played well. Like, I watch him, I'm waiting for him to screw up. And he hasn't yet.
But they haven't been telling him to do anything. They're just like, look, you just shoot. That's what I can do.
That's what I do.
Yeah, you know, they're not asking him to do anything else.
Mm-hmm. Washington, that's a small deal that they did with Sessions. But, I mean, I don't think they're better or worse by it. So I would say that they kind of stood their ground.
Small improvement.
Yeah, very small, very minute. Milwaukee, were they better than they were before?
I don't know what they were. Time will tell.
You're
higher on Carter Williams than I, so you'll probably say yes, considering they got rid of somebody you don't like and they got somebody you do like.
Miami loses Bosch but gains Dragic. Is that a push?
That's sort of a push.
Brooklyn getting Thaddeus Young. I think that makes him a little better.
I think that's an improvement.
Charlotte getting Mo Williams in exchange for Gary Neal.
Push. Well, considering Kemba Walker's out, that's a great pickup. Mo Williams is he will be much better than Gary.
They've lost 4 in a row, but Walker will be back soon. Detroit losing Singler, Augustin, but getting and you're losing Yurebko, but getting Reggie Jackson.
I'll put it this way. Remember when you said Detroit would be terrible, and I'm like, Van Gundy has a plan.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact Van Gundy has this team doing what they're doing after they got rid of Josh Smith, you know, we will put it. I think I'll put a little asterisk next to it, and we'll review that. We'll go back to that one later because he has to have a reason for that other than making a trade for the sake of making a trade.
Indiana didn't really make any moves, but let me throw in an asterisk. If Paul George comes back, are they better?
By far.
By far. But are they a playoff team?
They're one game out now, so they're in position to be one.
I'm a Paul George fan. I can't lie. I love the guy. And it broke my heart when he broke his leg. It did.
Well, now that he's back with his, you know, his moniker, his PG-13, so.
Is that his new number?
Yes.
Okay, very cool. Boston.
Upgraded in the long term. They with Sellinger out, they have gotten even smaller.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like I said, they needed to do something with their pick in the previous episode.
It's going to make their offense better, though.
They
already average 100 points a game. They're not terrible. So that'll help them a little bit. Orlando didn't do anything. Philadelphia's trash. New York.
New York. Ah! They also have a team.
Oh, my God. Amari Stoudemire, do you think he will be missed? What do you think of the New York Knicks Amari Stoudemire era in a nutshell?
To me, it was, he was who we thought he was. When you couldn't get LeBron or Bosch, you panicked and you signed him to a $100 million deal, uninsured. Mm-hmm. And he basically gave you what I think everyone sort of expected. He was dominant. He got them into that playoffs. And then
but he dovetailed so fast. After
his body just crapped out.
Yeah, after the lockout. I mean, Garnett the same way, if you ask me. I felt like he kind of crapped out too in 2012. And the same thing happened to Amari. Okay, we're going to go to the West. Golden State made no moves. I mean,
no
why?
Need to. They don't have any moves to make.
There's one more. What about Ray Allen? There's rumors of him with the Warriors, maybe with the Chicago Bulls.
I'm sick of Ray Allen. Will he come back? Will he? Oh, Boston didn't treat me nice. And
That's just the Celtics fan and you getting out.
Yeah, but... Oh, maybe I'll come back. Maybe I won't. I'm going to take another week to decide.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, he doesn't really want to come back, but... Because he would have picked a team, I think, by now.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out the teams that he's kind of in the hunt with. I know Cleveland is not one of them. You know, I know people are saying, well, he'll go back with LeBron because LeBron will convince him. But I haven't heard Cleveland's name in those talks, so I think he'll go with the Bulls. I just feel like he's going to go in Chicago, and they're going to find a way to make him fit there. Memphis did the Jeff Green deal. They're clearly better after the Jeff Green deal.
Yep, they're better. We mentioned Houston. We mentioned we already went over the Western Conference pretty much.
Yeah, but Dwight Howard is still having those injury problems with his knee.
Doesn't he could they can sit him. They can they're firmly in the playoff picture, so
what,
whether they're
what if they were able to swing the Dragic deal? They were supposedly rumored to be in that too.
I think that might have disrupted the harmony a little bit. Since Harden needs the ball all the time to create.
And it's not like Patrick Beverley is a terrible point guard. Did you see
Yes, he is.
No, he won the skills challenge.
Good for him. I mean, wow, you could pass it. You could bounce pass it through a grocery bag.
I'll tell you why he won. I'll tell you why they won it. This year, they actually did it side by side with the players. And what happened is everybody would get past Beverly on the dribbles and the passing through the tire. But then they would get to the 3-point shot at the top of the key. And none of the guards could make it. And Beverly would make it on the first try, and he would win the challenge.
Yeah. So that's –
yeah. Portland with a follow.
Should have gotten Jeff Green.
But are they better?
Yes.
But how much better?
They have a bench now. They can – if somebody's having – if Matthews or Batum needs a day off, they don't lose a step.
LA Clippers did not really have room to do anything like we mentioned, so that's the same. Dallas with Rondo, we talked about that a million times, and also getting Amari Stoudemire.
They improved a bit. Having Amare is better than having somebody on a 10-day deal.
Mm-hmm. San Antonio did nothing. They, even though they're not playing great right now,
I told you, I'm worried for them. They seem to be like, we'll just sort of coast our way in.
I did not like what I saw out of the top three, the big three, I guess you could call them. Still, I did not like what I saw out of them at LA, and I didn't like what I saw out of them in Golden State on that LA road trip because they're on their rodeo trip. You know,
AT&T
Center does the rodeo. You know.
We say that every year, like, they don't look good, and all of a sudden they win 10 in a row.
Mm-hmm. That's
and it's just like, I think we're sort of all waiting for that moment now.
We're going to say that for the next episode once we get closer to the month of March about whether or not, which team we think is going to make a run, because the month of March, there's always one team that makes a crazy run. Oklahoma City, they got better, but I don't know if they got so much better that people are saying.
They got better. There's no doubt about that. You get the corpse of Kendrick Perkins for anything.
Mm-hmm.
Considering every year, like, well, they should amnesty him. They should amnesty him. Okay, they got they got a nice body for him. Everyone, Phoenix hit the implode button.
So I agree. Phoenix got worse.
New Orleans is done. Isn't Drew Holiday?
It's not just Drew Holiday. I think Anthony Davis has either a torn labrum or a separated shoulder, because he went out again with his shoulder, but the contact was minimal, which scares me, which tells me that he's a lot more hurt than he's letting on.
So they're done.
I don't think they're completely done, but they're not going to catch up to Oklahoma City if Russell Westbrook is killing people the way he is, and if Kevin Durant starts to come around. What do you think of Kevin Durant's mean streak with the media? Kind of nasty quotes saying, I will dare anybody to guard me to take my place.
Yeah, now he's just angry, and I don't know. I don't know whether he's trying to inspire his team or they're going for that underdog mentality, because they always used to be the top two teams. And
it's crazy to think of Kevin Durant as the grizzled leader.
I don't know what is going on for it, but you know, the media also is very fickle with him to begin with.
It's almost as silly as LeBron James being Bill Hader's best friend in a new movie. But that's what we're about to get with the new Judd Apatow movie, Trainwreck. I just saw the trailer for that. LeBron, stick to your day job. Utah, whatever.
Everyone else, Utah, Denver, Sacramento, Lakers, and Minnesota, they're
Sacramento
all...
got better automatically by hiring George Karl.
They got better, but they, you know, from a roster standpoint, he still needs to do something with that team.
Yeah, they won the first game, and then they got blown out, I believe, by the Clippers a night later. So
They beat the Celtics, who didn't have Isaiah Thomas, and Sullinger was out. That's
well,
they
got Olynyk. That guy's hard to you know, hard to match up with.
Olynyk's out with a foot problem. So.
Oh, so yeah, I'm totally wrong now. the Lakers are the Lakers. They need to get that top five pick back. They need to get into the top five in order to keep it. You think it's tank time?
They've been in tank time.
But were you surprised they didn't move any of their guys? Because there's so many nameless guys, they could have moved one of them. But they're 2-year contracts. You tell me you couldn't move Jordan Hill, Wesley
Jones? They're not moving Jordan Hill because they like him for next year. He's a value. I think they like Ed Davis.
So they just didn't want to take on any new money so that they can have totally free cap space in 2016.
Exactly. And nobody wants anybody else in that roster. You're telling me people are knocking down their door for Swaggy P or Wayne
Ellington.
What's Ellington or Wesley Johnson?
Jordan Clarkson.
You know, Jeremy Lin. Nobody wants anybody on that team.
Did Denver get worse? I would say probably so.
But they want to get worse. They want to get rid of some of that team.
Did you hear the story about Brian Shaw reading a book about how to communicate with millennials?
No, but I would not be surprised. With that team has quit on that coach.
It's like Vince McMahon, these damn millennials. That's what he said on his podcast interview.
That team does not want to play for him, and it shows.
I would be stunned if he came back next year. Stunned.
As would I, and sort of like they built themselves up as we could be a comeback. Gallinari got injured again, so is his career sort of done as being that up-and-comer? Yeah, I think so. And, you know, if everybody on your team is on the trading block from, you know, your entire starting five, with the exception of Nurkic, that's not a good sign.
Mm-hmm. Minnesota, they had to have gotten better, right?
They got more mature with Garnett.
But they're just as bad, you think?
From a talent standpoint, I would almost say it's a push. Who's better right now, Thaddeus Young or Kevin Garnett?
Mm-hmm. So you don't think JaVale McGee makes the Philadelphia 76ers better?
He makes them as a name I know.
He makes them funner to watch. I'll put it that way, because I'll wait for JaVale McGee to do something stupid, because let me tell you something, it doesn't take long for him to do something stupid.
However, it's not a good, you know, you don't want Nerlens and Embiid to be hanging out with him too much, because they might start developing these bad habits now.
Maybe we'll do this in a future episode, but what trade were you thinking about that didn't happen that you think could have helped both sides?
We'll look at that at a future episode.
Okay.
We have gone through all trades.
Yeah, I think there's one guy I'll mention just as a tease. I think Tobias Harris not getting moved by the Magic was a mistake, because I don't think he's coming back to Orlando. I think he's going to get overpaid by somebody else. They should have moved him to try to get value.
I don't know. I think they might keep him.
And I think he really could have helped the playoff team. That would have been a real X factor. Like when you talk about Oklahoma City, well, they're getting over the hump with these guys when they're really not. I think Tobias Harris could have gotten somebody over the hump.
Yeah, but they didn't move anybody, and they could have moved Harkless or Andrew Nicholson, and they have too many people, which is the problem with collecting picks. Now you have all this glut of talent.
And to finish this off, I'm trying to figure out the right adjective. Is this one of the craziest trade sessions you've seen all the way from the beginning involving where Rondo? Rondo was probably the biggest deal, but do you think this is one of the craziest overall trade sessions you've seen in a season?
This has just been the craziest season ever because for some reason, I don't recall ever that much media scrutiny being on every week. Where after 1 week, we're proclaiming teams dead and you have major players moving as early as they did. And then teams, you know, usually there's the bonehead moves are usually for free agent signings, not trades. Teams don't like trade as many players as they usually do, which is odd.
Well, I think so many teams are locked and loaded. And also a lot of the competitive teams out in the West and also the teams in the bottom part of the playoff picture in the East are so desperate to make a move that could get them better that it just created mass hysteria, you know, where they just decided, okay, we got to do something because everybody else is doing something else.
That would be a good term, would be mass desperation.
Yeah, it just felt a little desperate. And also the fact that, you know, at the top you have Golden State, you have Atlanta. You have some familiar faces in the top still, like Memphis and San Antonio. And, you know, LeBron's LeBron. You know, but then you got Chicago, who's got Derrick Rose back. Toronto is making a surge. There's a lot of newness at the top, and I think that's what's creating it, too. There's no, like, real status quo now in the NBA. That's why I think it's been so crazy.
Yeah, it seems like this is the year to end all years, and next year I think is going to be a big letdown because nobody's going to want to do anything until they learn what the cap does, and they're just sort of going to keep what they have.
Yeah, it'll be it'll be almost kind of like what we did on our podcast. It'll be part two. It'll be to be continued.
Yeah, it's just going to set up, okay, you won 2015, but okay, that's it. That was the old NBA. The new NBA starts 2016.
Yeah, the NBA always continues. Unfortunately, ours will not here. We're going to be finishing the podcast. Any thoughts before we get out of here?
We gave you two episodes this week. We really had a lot to talk about all of these trades, really. And any parting words? As always, check out Place to Be Nation.
Would you ever trade me?
No. No, I'm not Philly. I will keep you. You're one half of the NBA team. I mean, who am I going to get? Chris Gulo? And I can hear about the Lakers and the hope that they'll, you know, oh, we could have traded for Dragic. No.
If I got Morissette and his dad, I would consider trading you. But
I have no value right now. I'm just I'm just a bad contract at this point. You're stuck with me.
All right. On behalf of Adam Murray, this is Andrew Reich. Glad to catch up on everything for you. We'll catch y'all on the bounce. See you later, guys.